This is Bridget Cowden talking with Mrs. Helen B. Tanner, and I would like to thank her very much for spending the time and talking with me. As we sit in her dining room at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the snow slowly falls as she recalls many of her memories of her younger days. Okay, the first thing I want to ask you is your birthday.
Okay, I was born August 4th, 1908, in Cameroon, Illinois.
Okay, how about your family? How many brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, Joe. And
no sisters?
No sisters. Either he left out or I did.
Okay, your parents' names?
John and Lola Bud.
You?
She was originally from McGinnis, and Lola Bud. From this area. Mm-hmm. He was not born. He was born in Greenwood.
Did you have any pets as a child?
Oh, yes.
Did you?
Horses, dogs, cats.
Oh, did you live on a ranch?
Yes, I lived on a ranch.
Mm.
It's out for dispatches and all that.
What's your best recollection of Big Pony? Either funny or sad?
Oh, it's kind of hard to place up any of those categories.
Yeah.
Big Pony was a place that we came to on a ranch. For supplies and for friendships and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Usually on Sunday, we'd come to town and the men worked in the places to go in, so they usually went to the thing called the saloons to the party, or they got the whispers and they went play solo or cribbage and share ranch experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then the women all met together and served it to us kids in the evening, and of course we played with them.
Was there a midwife in attendance when you were there?
No, there was no. I met the camera operator. I was in hospital.
Yeah.
At the time, so didn't have to go through that.
Yeah. What about transportation? Like horses?
Oh, well, transportation was really something. When I first went to school, we went to a country school. It was about 3 months away. And I got the first 2 years, the teacher stayed with us. The teacher was very good.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so she drove the buggy, and we went to school. Then when I was a little bit older, I rode horseback to school. And of course, that was in the summertime because it was after 3 months school. Just had it in the summertime. And then moved to the point of, moved in eighth grade.
When you rode your horse to school, was it, how far was the school?
About 3 miles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The experience is because the poor horses had to be tied out in the back of the building, and in the summertime it gets so hot, and the flies get so bad, so you wouldn't even want to get your foot in the stirrup when you take that back home. By the time you got home, you were probably crying, and you had to help the horse.
What about your home? How was it? It was a ranch type?
Yes, in fact, it's still, it's the house that John lived in, which is the only house just on the
ranch. Oh, really?
There was a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen, and a bedroom downstairs, and there were two bedrooms upstairs. We did have running water out of it because we didn't have it was a spring and we had a pipe running in the spring of the house. So that was one of the biggest difference in it. Because up to that time, they had to carry water, which wasn't too bad just for daily consumption.
How did your mother do the laundry the same? Carry buckets?
Carry buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Then the hired men all the way so the water would really do it first. And the water would have a pole, so she'd keep the water up. Most of the poles then, everything was dry. Make this soap. stick it was sort of carefully taken out of that into a pan and dumped into the two tubs. One was just a wooden tub, and the other one had glue on the side. And those are one of the components. So the wind up one of the wooden. And then in the summertime, of course, I had to hang on the and you can spin the fall as soon as you could, because there wasn't much room to hang on the couch. Yeah, sometimes they had food, you know, you'd bring in long underwear that were just like boards that you could carry across your shoulder and throw the drummers.
What about the buildings in town, like grocery stores, and how'd you get your supplies?
Well, we came to town for all of our supplies, and it was about, at that time, they had what they called the Big Pony Mercantile, which my great grandfather built and established, and they kept coffee and flour, sugar, and so because they were also the post office. And the clothing that one would have to have, you know, boots, they wouldn't have Levi's at that time, like they had maybe pants.
When did he build the mercantile? Do you remember what date?
No, I have it, but I can't think of it.
What about bars? And
they were there. There was one main one, and that was right next to what was the Big Pony Hotel, which is where the Silver Spur now is. It was a two-story building, and it was a hotel. So then there was also a hotel on Main Street, which is
Is it the big apartment building?
It has apartments upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Cottage Hotel.
Yep, that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay. So there were the two hotels, and then the next door, then later Bernice. Well, I guess there was another story for that one. And then Bernice was down there. Their story. And there was Frank Bernie, who was Jimmy Bernice's uncle.
What about violence? Was there like shootouts or anything like that?
Really? Yeah, there were some.
Really?
Uh-huh. Once in a while at the, I suppose primarily there would be, oh, I don't know, it would have been on 4th of July or when people all came together. I think there was only one, I don't know if you know, but there was a shooting. One of the boys was like, a bucket of blood. I suppose that's where it put its name.
Really?
Oh, no. We didn't know very much about it. We kind of didn't. I guess the grown-ups never talked about it. But we didn't hear much about it. Of course, we didn't have television or radio. We did have a record company for music in the house. And somehow, community telephone for one name about such and such a person. We didn't want to show up at somebody else. Every time the phone rang, of course, it was just the way to keep it on the news. Everybody listened to the conversation. Sometimes I looked at things and things that you can do. Recipes were exchanged and topic of the day and stuff.
About flood,
I
don't remember floods, bad storms?
No, just some severe electric storms, but not that there was any particular damage to them. We didn't, none of my family were injured because of lightning storms. However, there were friends. One was killed riding horseback on the fence. The only there was one flood that didn't do too much damage as far as people having to evacuate their homes and that sort of thing, because the town was still on the bench as it is now. But at one time, the North Grand Creek down here did overflow to the point that there was water flowing across the land. So that was, but it just went on down the river, you see. There were no homes or anything like that.
What about epidemics?
I don't recall any during my time. They had them. They had smallpox epidemic. And there was flu, of course. All kinds of diseases and all that stuff too. You know, the flu with our calves, our animal calves. And so every day we'd have to put in our calves. And they had a bucket of tar-like substance, and I suppose there was some other medication in there. And they tie a swab around on a stick and dip it in this tar. And then you pull the gas mouth open and it was tongue out because it was just so hot. And then you know, that was a really nasty tongue. There was a doctor here.
There was one doctor. Where is he?
He lived back in the what was. That's the band. Where the Gaiety Theater was. There was a building right next to that.
Between the ladies?
Yes, that was a drugstore. And then in the back, the doctor's back there.
Did he ever make house calls or anything?
Oh, yes. He would go. Of course, he had to go. In earlier times, he had to go horseback and all that. Then in later years, they did have cars. But of course, the roads were something too. It was really two trails, a trail for each wheel, you know, and all the ditches and everything. Instead of bridges, there were two planks across. So you put each tire plank was along across the ditch or the gully, and it held your breath.
Do you remember any specific cases ever when you were young, like black lung or meat?
We were pretty free that way. In fact, a couple of different people who came and lived here all their lives came here because they thought that they had lung trouble. And so they came and did this dry and high altitude, and they lived quite a few years. I guess it must have been good for them.
Well, what kind of remedies did you guys use when one was sick?
You always had onion syrup, which was real tasty, you know. Take the grated lemon and get the juice of that and either put it with honey or sugar and use that for a cough. And you had mustard plasters when you go to the chest and you put mustard on your chest in muslin. And then covered it up. And you just hope they didn't make it too strong when you got on too long because you could blister, you know. Oftentimes, it either helped or they thought it would, because we shouldn't be using it.
What kind of games did you guys play as children?
Kind of growing up on the ranch at school, of course, we just sort of entertained ourselves by the time the homework was done, because we all had our chores. And then we just entertained ourselves with getting some bread and butter and going out on a picnic and some bird nests or something like that. Of course, when we went to school, at school we played Kick the Can and Andy Roller and
what's that?
Where you throw the ball over the roof and try to catch him on the other side. If they were doing kind of roofs in our school, nothing said no. All kinds of relay races and steel sticks. We have two. Each side has a pile of six or eight sticks, and you have a line between them. You go across the line, and if you're touched, you have to get one of these. But if you can go up and steal a stick and bring it back, you know, something like the one who ends up with the most sticks at the end of the game is the winner. At school, of course, we always had to carry our water from the spring and the water bottle, and we all drank out of the same drink. It seemed to bother us.
What about? Were there any holidays that the whole town celebrated?
Oh yes, there was always the 4th of July. That was a big thing because they had the Boer War. At that time, over there at Norbiton, about where the second baseball area is, or that little park that they had over there. About where they had a racetrack. 3 days. Rodeoed for 3 days and danced for 3 nights. And I guess recovered for 3 weeks after.
Wasn't there a rodeo ground over by the Tucker Davis homes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Maybe there was one. And over there, it was a little bit more. They had the bleachers. It was never a covered stand. Mm-hmm. They didn't have bleachers.
Maybe not. No.
No. It's all trace of both of us. And then St. Patrick's was always a good thing. It was always a dance. Of course, dances were one of the main things for people to get together. And oftentimes they'd have potluck supper and they'd have been something like that. But usually they brought cakes or homemade ice cream or something, and they just had their freshness. Mm-hmm. And they'd have to go on and then wrap everybody up and tuck them in a sled full of hay and take them home.
What were the funerals like and where were people buried at?
Well, the most times then, there was not anyone here who was called, or I guess maybe the law didn't require that you had to be an embalmer and that a body had to be buried within 3 days. It was just an automatic thing. Most of them were taken care of. Well, my husband's father was one of the early ones that I think did that sort of thing. And he just took care of them in the home. And then they were left in the home. The picnic was put in the home. And until the day of the funeral. And they were taken in the cemetery, so he's been out there in the middle.
Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any other.
No, that's the only one here. Of course, each community had its own. They know maybe it's not. There was usually a minister around of some denomination or whatever, didn't matter much. In fact, when we were visiting, we actually used to have a visiting minister. Because we didn't often get to town on Sunday for church. They did have church service. Once in a while, we got in for Sunday school. But they would have a visiting minister with him as well.
Did you ever see any Indians in town?
No. No. By the time I came along, there weren't any Indians to be seen. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't. After my mother and dad were married, they never had any Indian problems either. But as they were young people, both of them had experiences with Indians, friendly experiences with them. One, they were both rather starving at the time because they were afraid of it. Did you never know what they were going to do? They didn't know what they were going to do. And when my mother lived down on the barge, they had a ranch there. And her husband had gone to Evanston for supplies for the house, which is why they were afraid of it. He had gone to that. A neighbor came and said that there were Indians moving on and they would be camping in the spring, which is just. Of course, you didn't have a door or windows or anything at that time, because they had just moved in that room. But they did have blankets at the door. Mm-hmm. And she had paper at the window. But she had a big dog that was kind of a watchdog, and she tied him on the door. And she was afraid to go to bed. She had a little bit of sugar left. And so if the kids would stay in, she'd make them candy. So they stayed in. And the night, they heard the wagon. And I knew that Grandpa was coming back. That's how I was going to be. And then Grandma Bud, who lived here where the house where the guy was now, her home was there. And the men had all gone to the timber one day, and she was left alone. And she had sent all the bread with her lunches, so she didn't have any bread. And this group of young Indians drove up and they wanted bread. But she didn't have any. But she was baking gingerbread, and so she gave him a pan of gingerbread. And this one had been took it out and tasted it, and then and threw the can on the ground. They rolled up. So, yeah. That's about the only experiences we've had.
What were the children expecting to do at home?
Well, it made a difference that we lived in town. And of course, it was, at that time, there was no central heating. Everybody had heater stove and cook stove. Wood and coal. So you always had to keep the wood boxes full, and you always had to have the coal boxes full. And if there wasn't running water, again, you had to, when you washed, in the wash pan, there was a bucket underneath that you dumped your wash water in. And of course, I don't know how you get water and dumped. And on most days, you had to have the wash. The boys had to help clean the rooms.
Did you have horses and cows?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have pigs or chickens?
Yeah, oh, we always had pigs. Yes, we had to have your pork to eat.
Yeah.
We didn't have lions. Mm-hmm. They were not pretty. They were all right.
Mm-hmm.
They were cute when they were, but they were not. They looked like sheep. And they were disturbing and smelly.
Yeah. What was the classroom atmosphere?
Oh, in school?
One-room?
It was a one-room school. Mm-hmm. We had the desks with the wooden seat and the benches that had the... No, they opened up. They had it opened up.
Did they connect?
No, they were separate. Yeah, they did. They connected down the long road.
Yeah.
And there was a blackboard in front of the room and the teacher's desk. And her bench and everything was in front of them. Two windows on each side, and the door on the opposite end of the building from the blackboard. And that's where the water was. And it was in that area where the heating stuff was. And mm-hmm. The poor teacher had to come to school in the morning and build a fire and get it all going, and she'd have to bank it at night before she could go. My daughter was my teacher there.
Yeah. The boys and girls expected to act in different ways. How are they disciplined at school?
Oh, so discipline, every place I went to school, it was pretty strict. It was just easier to fall into the groove than it was to suffer the consequences. And I think on the whole, there wasn't too much of a problem with discipline.
What would you do?
Oh, just a good scolding, or tell your parents about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or keep you in the recess so you didn't get to go out and play. It wasn't very often that you had to stay after school because two or three from the family would ride home at the same time, and it made it safer. I don't know if it was a horseback or a donkey or something. It was just more pleasant not to have trouble. I don't recall any major discipline problems at all.
How was Easter and Christmas celebrated when you were a kid?
Well, we always came in for Easter Sunday. There was one church we always came for. So, of course, that was a big event to be able to do. We dyed eggs. We didn't have dye like they have now.
What did you dye?
We can use onion skins and make pretty brown ones. And with Crayolas, we had a few Crayolas. We could color them. They weren't elegant. And you can hide in so many places for several days.
What about Christmas?
Christmas, we always had a pine tree with candles early. We were lighting the candles, and they were on little clips, you know, little clip, and it was a little cup like that, with the little candles. But they'd all get lighted, and we'd all look at the Christmas tree, and we'd sing the Christmas tree, or jingle bells or something, and then the candles had to be going out immediately because of the fire danger. So,
most of
those things. They worked, they didn't smell good.
Yeah.
And never had too much in the way of gifts. Everybody had a gift. I don't think I had any major gifts at all in your gifts. We didn't expect any, we didn't get any. Because people didn't have any excess money to. There usually be some kind of candy, and an orange and an apple, and then some little pumpkin or something.
What was dating like?
Was the Gaiety Theater. There just wasn't any. I mean, you're too far away. Mm-hmm. And and then I suppose maybe some of the older ones have some of the boys have tried it, pushed back the seat or something. And then there were dances. They had dances at school, and public dances at home on special occasions. And then later years in high school, I even got to go to the piano to a dance. And in different homes, they would have parties. Sometimes they were one parties, and sometimes they were just open parties. Well, sure.
Yes. Did you ever go camping or
hunting? Oh, always. Fishing? After haying was done in the summertime, that was one of the things that we did look forward to. We hooked up the horses to the buggy and loaded all the bedding from the beds because they didn't have such things as bedrolls. Mm-hmm. So you stripped the kitchen of its utensils and you stripped the beds of its bedding and you went camping and then you had to come back and put it all away before you could go on the next day or that night. But oh, it was fun. We almost losing it the night from the night.
How'd you get up there?
Well, you filled a buggy.
Could you get up there?
No, you couldn't get all the way. You'd ford the creek several different times, and then you got the straight creek comes in. But we camped there, and then with pack horses, they packed the tents and all the things into the lake. They are lit up in buggies.
Where did you meet your spouse when you were
there? Oh, we grew up in this neighborhood. And he was a very close friend of my brother's, which were good memories at me because it seemed like mother always made so many allowances for boys and let them do things that I never got to do.
What was the wedding ceremony like? Did you get married here?
I was married at home, at the ranch, just before we moved the house down. And there was a minister here at that time that we all had a great deal. Reverend Best was his name. And he was at the community church. And a cousin of mine played the piano. About 8 gifts landed there, and that was extended.
You must have been pretty many guests, though, from the
beds and towers. Just the families. Mm-hmm. Just the Tanner family and my immediate family. Mm-hmm. We didn't include the family. And the house was quite big.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a small family. But no showers like they had. Years of married life. Mm-hmm. So, but they were crazy.
Yeah. How many children did you have?
The three sons.
Three boys.
No girls.
Were they all born here?
They were all born in Canada.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How come you didn't go to Jackson?
Well, at Jackson, at that time the road wasn't that good at Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The road was better at Cameron. There was a hospital there. And well, most of the docking was done through Canada. It wasn't until later years, after the boys were born, that we started going to Jackson. They had a doctor in Jackson back in the time who had been with the children's hospital in Denver. And he was excellent with children. going with everyone. When he came, then we started doing special things.
Mm. When did you get writing?
You know, isn't it strange? I can't even remember.
Really?
Was I can remember the first time I had radio, but when we got it, I just don't remember it. But I was going to high school here in Piney and living with my aunt and uncle, which is the house next to the one that Brandy lives at now. Me, it's been torn down and it's part of its school. But that's where I lived, and we went down to the house that we were now to Cliff and Sophie Daniels. That time it belonged to Fuller's, and they had a radio with earphones. And so they let us, this particular time there was something that was going to come in, and they allowed us to come down, and we'd sit for a few minutes with earphones on to listen to radio, and we'd give it to them.
What was it?
I don't even remember. It was just good to hear it. Put the earphones on, and I can't even remember what the occasion was. And we sold them up to Mercantile or something. I can't remember how much it was. I can't even remember it was an RCA, the first time we had. But I can't even remember the year we got it. But it was at Christmas time, I remember. And this particular one had not sold, so we got to buy it. Amos and Andy and Kate Smith and a few of us and she liked to listen to. Hey.
Did you find out the social clubs?
Well, yes. They did. Dad was an elk. And they went to East Moore Rock Springs when they were initiated. They went horseback. And then they did have and then the women had what they called at that time, it was called the But anyway, the whole family would go, these were the men that take the wife and the kids and the couple. Then the men would go to the bar and the bar or something like that. Oh, had their social moment, maybe some of them.
Did they ever
trade recipes and visit and meet?
Yeah. Did they ever make blankets, you know, get together?
No, I don't remember any of the organizations doing that. Oftentimes, the different families would get together and trade their things as they did whenever they branded the cattle or. All the neighbors who came and helped this one particular one, the woman cooked the meal and the woman helped.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, or whenever the next branch had, everybody went there and they could do the same thing.
Mm. What was your first job?
First job I had? I worked at the ranch. Because they needed more help with the cattle.
You got paid for it?
No. That was just part of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid for things in those days. You were just grateful for all the opportunities you were given. The first job I guess I had, I don't. I never did anything around school though. I didn't work in town. I guess the first one that I went when I went to University of Wyoming. And then I would go to people's homes when they came home. And I'd do up the dishes, babysit.
That was the first college year, too.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
Well, it was different than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in Durham?
Lived in Durham, yeah. All the girls lived in Durham, and all the families Durham. Smoking on campus. They have the cafeteria, so they have the cafeteria. very rude if any Harry Potter comes into what we're seeing or something. And it was from him after he was about to be part of the movie.
What kind of grades did you get?
Oh, good passing grades.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Well, not the kind that you're funny. I didn't get motorboard or anything like that. I got my grade completely.
Did you go all 4 years?
2 years at Lillian. And then taught a year here and then went to UCLA for 2 years. 2 years and two summer sessions. Because I lost a grade of summer transfer.
How did you go to UCLA?
I had a cousin who lived back there. She thought that since I hadn't enjoyed the University of Wyoming that much and was kind of disappointed, she urged me to come and go to school there. So, I loved it. It was certainly different because it was so big and being so far away from home, and I never got to come home except for summer. We got to come for the vacation
with Christmas
because we couldn't afford it. So, and there I did have a job at Christmas time. The maid company always helped sell Christmas ones. it was an interesting experience because that was the first year that UCLA is on its present campus. It had been downtown, and we had moved it out to what was now called Westville. And so there were no sidewalks. The buildings were all brand new. The dormitories were all brand new. But it was fun because everybody was just sort of like that. And then when I got my degree, I hoped to get a job in California. But it happened to be one of those years where the teachers were most plentiful, especially in California. So I went for a few tears and I had to come back to my home. I wonder now why I did.
How long after that did you get married?
I taught 2.5 years in Hot Springs after I graduated.
Had you ever been in Wyoming before?
To Denver, to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So it was quite a contrast to where we're sitting. But fortunately, it was not downtown. It was not more traffic as it was anything because it was very isolated. Even the main thoroughfare went from LA to the same place. It was all at that time, you know. Oh, look at the miles without a building.
How did you get down to this college?
Evanston. Evanston took me to Evanston on a bus. Lots of interesting things. It was a wonderful years.
I didn't know you could teach. You said you taught a year here or there.
Mm-hmm. At that time, school. If you had 2 years of college and you were in the education department, you could teach. It was a provisional certificate that you could have it for that year. If you're going to teach anyone, you have to pay.
What did you teach? Did you teach all subjects, or did you?
I had the fourth grade in Rock Springs. Years I taught there. When I came back to Pinewood for the first one I had first and second grades in a little log schoolhouse. At that time, one of the interesting ways that they built the little schoolhouses, which are the old schools were, they put them on skids, that is, two big logs on the bottom, and then they built on this. Then they could pull sort of skids and then move from one place to another. Because sometimes it would be closer to one family, and they would move if there was a decent place for the spring lines, or they may not want the spring lines. So ours never got moved until it was moved down here and used out beside the, there was the one building there, which was the high school and third grade. It was only the one building, except the little log house that our first and second grade.
Was there a lot of, how many kids did you estimate at this
point? I think, if I remember correctly, I must have had about, only about 16 in the two grades. Here, and there was about 21, 22, I think, in the spring, so I must have been there. And then came back here, and it was about the same. In the 20s, one year we had 27.
Did you keep teaching after you were married?
Not for a few years. And then the school was about to open, and they needed a teacher that they had. Somebody had signed a contract and not had the camera or something. So I came in, and I was before my husband died, so I had to have 1 year. Then I kept on teaching.
What grade was it?
Fourth grade.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. And there were two fourth grade, as there are now. Mm-hmm. This is going on.
What kind of machines in the household when the kids were young did you have to help with the housework?
Well, there was coffee to be ground. We had to ground coffee because it came in a great big white pan, and it was a whole coffee pan, so you could ground coffee for a week. It was kind of fun. And one of the most unpleasant experiences was grinding horseradish. We grew horseradish in the garden, and then we would take it out and put the grinder on the porch, fasten it to the porch, and grind the roots up there. And if you've never ground one, it smells, you know how your eyes cry with onions. Mm-hmm. Well, horseradish is 20 times brighter, so we always like to have a windy day and get upwind on the grinder and grind the horseradish. And there was a sewing machine. Later we had a pen. We had a cream separator. They separated the cream from the milk. And of course, there was always the butter to be chewing.
What did your kids do? Where were you living?
Well, then, when we were married, first home was the one that the parkway. It's the one with all the trees down here, just on the other side of Mr. Burns and the military. And that's right. They had, as soon as they got old enough, from the first job, when you're older, they had 4-H cows. And we did have a quail in there. So they had all the chores that went on with the animals. And we still had to have wood and cook back in. We had, a little bit later, we had a furnace in the basement. And of course, all the ashes and clunkers and that sort of thing had to carry out of the basement. And the wood chopped. And I guess that's, there really weren't too many things. And the garden was something. We didn't have to weed the garden.
Did you always keep a garden?
Always had a garden.
Who did you grow?
Radish, and carrots, and parsnips, and turnips, and beets, and all kinds of goodies. Rhubarb.
How did you discipline your kids? Were they in really much trouble on you?
Not to me, they weren't, because their father was a very strong disciplinarian, and when he spoke, which is not too often, he was not the they paid attention.
What test did you most like doing and which one didn't you like as a housewife?
Oh, I never liked it. I never liked the dust. All those little things like that that are no chore. Those are the ones you hate to do. Things I like most to do? Oh, I guess, you know, when you're happy and everything's going nicely, I don't think there's anything you really dislike, something you don't like as well as this. And I don't know of anything that I particularly like doing. I suppose baking, cooking, probably. Because that was always appreciated.
Did you make your own clothes?
I was never much of a seamstress. Yeah. I did all the patching and the darning of socks and putting patches on Levi's and all that. But, you know, to make any clothes, I think I made one shirt. I never was asked to make.
What was a typical day like? What time would you get up?
Now you mean early days here in Big Pine or early days at the ranch? Because they were quite different. The early days at the ranch, you got up. You were up around 6 or 6:30 in the morning. Because there was usually 100 or 200 men. And so you got the family and the hired help and fed. And it was a big breakfast. It was always steak, biscuits, and gravy. That was the usual. Once in a while, there'd be hotcakes and eggs and bacon. Never toast. And hot cereal. Yes, and hot cereal. At that time, there wasn't much in the way of fruit or juices. And then there'd be a big noon meal with bread and meat and potatoes and some kind of a vegetable. And there was a dessert cake or pudding or pie. And then the evening meal, which we called supper, was sort of using up the leftovers. It was a light meal. But in order to do the hard work in the field and with the cattle all day, they had to have their ration all during the day for breakfast and cooking.
Did you have any other drink besides milk or water?
Not. Once in a while we had something that you could make, supposedly, but beer. We didn't have any Kool-Aids or anything like that. Lemonade occasionally. No, it was mostly milk, buttermilk, coffee, tea, iced tea.
Did you socialize with other women when you moved into town?
Oh, yes. Here in town, they had with the longest. It was called the tribal at that time. And it would compare to the tiny towns that happens to be called. And it was exchanging ideas on how to do things at home. And through the demonstration agent, we got new ideas and things of how better to do things. And then we'd get together and exchange ideas on something new to knit or crochet, a new edge for a pillowcase, or some new embroidery, or tablecloth, things like that. Exchange books.
And politics. What political party did you support?
Oh, I've always been a Republican.
When did you first vote?
Well, I was 20.
What did you vote for?
What did I vote for? I don't even remember.
Was it much of stuff going on in here? Were you an octopus?
No. Oh, when there would be, at that time they did it differently than they do now, whenever candidates would come. And you would always go regardless of whether you were of your party or not, with the candidates from the county and the state and everything would come through. They'd all come together. And then there would be a potluck supper, and they'd all talk, and then you could talk next night would be a dance. So everybody took part in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you always help serve and help to make the food, whatever your part of the world.
Mm.
But I never took anybody to hold her.
What was the most famous politician that came through here?
Oh, I don't even remember. No national ones.
Mm-hmm.
Nellie Taylor Ross was here at one time for a short visit. She was the first woman governor. And then she went on to be director of the University of D.C. Otherwise, they were just... Milt Smith was here, he was governor. I don't really know anyone to get excited about. We didn't have any big celebrities coming through.
Well, was the KKK ever active around here?
No.
No? No. Hmm. There hasn't been any Indians or blacks or just...
No, the only black family that were over here were the Steps. And then they were talking about, and they moved here. Well, they homesteaded here. Mr. and Mrs. Step came early and raised their children there, and they had an orchestra, and they played for dances, and they were just part of the community. Nobody thought of them as being any big.
Mm-hmm.
They were always wonderful, respected people. We had no ideas.
What do you think of the current president of the United States and his policies?
Well, I think it's... I agree with a lot of the things. I think he's on the right track. I'm not too sure that he's going to be able to... Something has to be done for the unemployed. That's very good. And if something like that can be worked out, I'm quite fine.
Mm-hmm. What was the area of that part of World War I?
It was just a little ranch. It's always been a ranching community. We didn't have mining. There were some local coal mines where people would go and sometimes get coal for their own winter use, but there were no mines around. There was a Thai camp around here where they cut the ties in the winter and then they flipped the ties down the Green River to Green River. We had a lot of those people in here and through here, and a good many of them used to stop at the ranch in the wintertime. They'd come down with a sled and they'd stop at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And stop at the ranch. But it's always been just quiet. Sort of down compared to.
What about prohibition? What was that?
Prohibition?
Were there no people? Still got
there. Were all kinds of stills around, and anybody who really wanted it knew how and where to get it. And it could be. Mm-hmm. And it was not very good quality, so you're sort of taking your life in your hands more way than one. You entrusted yourself to whatever came out of that copper pan.
What was the 20s like?
20s? It was like any river back to the 20s. Well, I was at school most of the 20s.
How did the Depression affect this area?
Well, it was rough. The time I remember the most was in the First War, when you couldn't get flour, you couldn't get sugar, and all the substitutes that mother had to concoct out to make bread and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And how careful you were. There were food stamps. We had food stamps after January. We had to be very careful to be sure we had enough. We certain amount of sugar we could have. So I painted up some very fancy jars with everybody's name on them. And at the beginning of each week, everybody got his allowance of sugar. Some of them disappeared really quickly, mm-hmm. and some of them still had sugar left at the end of the period. Tires were difficult to get because, and in order to have to go so far, we were better than some people because my husband being on vacation, he was called, and they didn't have any ambulances then. And people had to go to the hospital. The transportation of an ambulance. And so we were able to get tires in there to keep, be able to continue on the ambulance.
How long was he in the vacation?
Well, it was since he got out of college. He was in the vacation before we were married. And he still was at the point. And then Dick took it over. So his grandfather and his father, and so there have been three generations.
Mm-hmm. Did they use this building?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was it like during World War II?
Well, I guess that's when we had our rationing of food stamps and the tires that were difficult to get, and gas and all that sort of thing. They were hard. I don't think people really noticed all those things as much, maybe, as would at the similar sort of thing we have right now, because we had never been people who would have an excess of things to start with. You didn't have much in your homes that you didn't need. You didn't have clothes that you didn't need. You never just spent money.
Yeah.
And so, I think a lot of those things we just kind of took in our stride without thinking too much about it.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever bread lines or ration cards that they used?
The ration cards, yeah, I guess. There may have been some, but I didn't. There were no bread lines. No,
mm-hmm.
We didn't have any of that. I don't believe any place, even in the county. That would be more where you had large groups of people who were working and then became unemployed, like around the mines and the mills and that sort of thing, I think. But here each family just sort of took care of itself. And their hired help were well fed, and they had a place to sleep and stay. And so it was different from when we had a rent.
Was anybody, well, was your husband or children ever in the offices?
Dick was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was in the army.
Was
and he was in the, what do they call it? He was continuing his mortuary profession. But he wasn't in very long because he had done his boot trainings and when they had transferred him to California, he'd been there for about 2 months, I think, and when he spent a day, so he got discharged to come back here because there was no other limitation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the biggest change in this country since you were here?
Well, I suppose the two greatest ones would be communication. You know, you had nothing but telephone, but you got your news on it, and I believe we had a weekly paper.
Back when you did?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
It was printed here in Piney. First it was printed in Kimmer, but then later they had it in Piney. But, and then the communication with just a telephone, instead of having a system now where you dial, you know, they had a telephone operator who was a person. We went to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and worked until 8 o'clock at night. And so you always called the operator to call anyone you wanted to. It wasn't a matter of just dialing the phone. it was real convenient because if you couldn't find somebody at home, you just asked the operator if she knew where so-and-so was. Well, she just sauntered down the street and then to go, they probably are at such and such, and she'd go and get them. So that was different. That and transportation, you know, when we had to kind of slow and buggy. Finding what cars, first car we had was not enclosed. It had isinglass windows that, and it was not closed. Bobby could only have snaps, and we'd snap it across the car and went like this, and that enclosed the car. Otherwise, we just have to talk to the car. That way, but when it got cold, you had to close them. And I remember the folks talking at one time about they had just read that the new cars that were being produced were having glass windows. And they thought, not terrible, that's going to be with all the wrecks and everything. The people are going to get out of the
things. What were the people like? How do they, the people back then, compare with the people who were residents of Paramount?
Well, I suppose at that time, rather than now, the main difference would be that most of those people just lived here permanently, whereas now, with the oil people coming in and schools, because then there weren't that many teachers needed, you see. I suppose those are probably the main differences. It's been good. Because with all the extra people coming in, it's about new ideas and growth.
Do you like
lots
that idea?
Of new things. Well, if it doesn't get any bigger.
No.
I don't want it to be big.
What's the estimate here? What's over that sign?
It's, you mean right now? I don't really know. It must be about 6 months. That is including all the creative costs. That's thinking of the posting. So that's quite different than it would be. We've had wonderful people coming through the schools and through the oil company. You know, they've learned lots of culture of many kinds in the community that we have. It's been great. It's been good.
What's your best memory of Suffolk County? Whether it be sad or bizarre.
Oh dear. I really can't think of any really outstanding thing. Maybe as far as I was concerned, getting to move from the country school into the city school.